Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to For Your Benefit. We're here this morning to talk about transition planning, life planning, stress planning, but not planning for stress, but how to get rid of it, and talk about happy holidays. And here, and this is probably the last time you'll hear me for 57 minutes, but Patty Hudson. And Patty is going to be joining NITP doing the seminars in that regard. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning.
And John Elliott, federal benefits strategist, retired Fed, retired seminar presenter, still does the emails and does the show. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bob and Patty.
All righty, and we have another person in here. Good morning.
Good morning.
All righty. Anyway, Patty, so creating healthy, happy holidays, where do we start?
Start with a mindset.
A mindset to say, okay, the holidays are coming and they're not going to stress me out, and what am I going to do to convince myself?
You got
about
it. You start with a positive mindset, but you can't just say, I'm going to have a positive mindset. What you have to do is you have to have some sort of a plan. And in order to have some sort of a plan, you have to have a visual of how you want your holidays to look. And you also have to, with that visual, I'm a big believer in affirmations, and I'm a big believer in positive energy versus negative energy. And so many people are not aware of negative energy. They're not aware of negative thoughts. They're not aware of negative behavior. It becomes habit. It becomes habit. And I'm fond of saying that habit is a kind of hell that we condemn ourselves to prevent change. And it doesn't really matter whether it's positive change or negative change. That habit just kind of takes over. And when that habit takes over and leads to a belief, if the belief is a negative one with regard to whatever, to include the holidays, then you're going to have a feeling of dread. And that feeling of dread is a bad thing for your body.
How do you break it?
The first thing you do is start to listen to the way you talk. Start to listen to the way you talk. Most people say, I don't want, I don't want, I don't want. I don't want to gain weight over the holidays. I don't want the holidays to be stressful. I don't want to see Aunt Mary for the holidays. She drives me nuts. Whatever. Okay? So instead of focusing on what you don't want, focus totally on what you want. So I want to be healthy for the holidays. I want to get along with Aunt Mary for the first time in 45 years. I want to stay fit. I want to balance my energy for the holidays. Always what you want. Always focusing on the end result. I mean, people ask me all the time in seminars all the time, you know, how do I get motivated? And I tell them, you know, motivation, two greatest motivators, okay, comfort and validation. And the interesting thing about it is in order to get there, you have to go through a bit of discomfort. So you focus on the end result. People say to me all the time, you're so lucky. You love to exercise. I say, no, I really hate it. Okay, but I love an exercised body. So for the holidays, it's the same kind of thing. I mean, it can be the best time of the year, but it depends on your perspective and your mindset.
But people get stressed out with the commitment of time that they have to do if they work. When am I going to buy the presents or fix the house up? Then they get all bummed out, and they, like me sometimes, put the tree up. If you put trees up, I did it yesterday after my boss told me I better put it up yesterday. And so do you talk to people, or do you talk them in seminars, or do people call you up and say, and you have this website, Patty Says?
Mm-hmm.
And Patty Says?
Patty Says is, it's a funny story. I did do a radio show in New York, and people... And that is actually what it was called, Patty Says, because people would go home and they'd say to their spouse, well, Patty said. So it just kind of evolved from that. And yes, I have my email address, and I offer people information. I offer them electronic information if they want it, documents that I can pass to them about fitness, stress reduction, hiring a trainer, making a transition. Any question that they have, I'd be happy to answer.
And what is that website?
It's called Patty Says, P-A-T-I. I don't spell Patty with one T. However, Yahoo would not let me put it in as two, so it is P-A-1-T-I-S-A-Y-S-2-7-1-1 @Yahoo. Again.
Do that slow.
I will. I was just going to do that. It's P-A-T-I-S-A-Y-S-2-7-1-1 @Yahoo.com.
Great. Thanks.
Welcome.
So people can go in there, and again, they can get information regarding...
They can get information regarding anything that, any life skill that they may or may not be having difficulty with. I work as a life coach, too. It's independently. But what I tell people about being a life coach, it basically when you're stuck, you need a life coach when you're stuck. A habit... isn't necessarily recognizable. Okay. It's a way of, if you, here's your visual, here's your foot. Okay. And you take your other foot and you just keep going around and around and around and around and around in a circle. And you can't break that pattern because behavior, I like to tell people, here's what's true. And there actually was a study on this, by the way, but people underestimate caloric intake by 35%. That's the truth. People overestimate exercise intensity by 50%, and we're all self-deluded. Okay? So we're not really aware of our own behaviors. It's difficult to get into. I talk about Jahari's window. And are you familiar with that?
Jahari?
No, yeah. I was going to ask. Who's Jahari?
Jahari was one of those psychologists that I don't know, I guess he had a lot of extra time on his hands. So he came up with this way of identifying self. And he said, self can be identified by a four-pane window. And in one of the panes is the self that is known to self and known to others. In the second pane is the self that is known to self but not known to others. In the third pane is the self that is known to self but not known to others. The fourth pane is the rich pane. That's where all the good stuff is. And in that pane, that's the self that is not known to self and not known to others. So that's your kind of unconscious mind. And that's kind of where you are with a lot of behaviors that do not serve you well. You just kind of, I tell people, be a creator, but be a conscious creator. Most of us don't do that. How many times do you hear people say, yeah, well, I fell into that career. It wasn't what I intended, okay? And so that I'm really big on, all right, what's your intention? What do you want to create? Tell me what you want to create, and let's work on that, all right? Let's work on that vision. I've got to get you to the place where it's believable for you, because if it's not believable for you, it's not going to happen.
So that would work well with our listening audience because they have so many different proverbial avenues to go down so that if they don't like the job they're in, they can go to the next one. Didn't you do that, John? You went to several different agencies throughout your career? Not several, two or three?
I think my total was seven, but half of it was with one.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't so much changing careers. It was just changing organizations. But, I just kept going where the better offer was, whether that was, sometimes that was simple logistics or free parking or whatever in the building, you know, things like that. I left a job that I shouldn't have. And that was my biggest personal career mistake. I left an agency that I shouldn't have.
Okay. I've only had two jobs my whole life other than summer jobs.
Yeah. So I could have probably used Patty as a coach at that point, and she would have talked me out of it.
I don't know. Are you going to get mad at me if I say something now?
No, of course not.
Oftentimes, you say, I left a job that I shouldn't have, but you don't have all the information yet because you haven't lived your whole life.
Yeah.
So it may not, you may never know. You know, Mitch Albom's book, Five People You Meet in Heaven. Have you ever heard of that book?
I think I've read it.
Okay.
In fact, I know I've read it.
Okay, good. Well, the premise, you know, the whole thing about the book is that we don't know people that we affect and we don't know how we're affected. Okay. And sometimes it takes a lot of time to figure that out. So I'm a big believer in wait and see.
What if you're not going to heaven?
You're going to have some kind of consciousness. I don't know where you're going to be, but I know energy can't be created or destroyed, so you're going to be somewhere. You might be floating around there, but you're going to be somewhere.
You're looking for a landing strip. Okay.
Yeah.
I like you gave us some great notes, and I just love this about holiday eating, you know, established guidelines. Well, those are nice for me until I get inside the front door. And then the guidelines are gone because all the temptations are there to
eat. But you don't eat outside. That's a good thing.
No, I don't eat outside. But Saturday night, what, didn't I take something? Yeah. They had this great pecan pie, and so I said, it should be taken home. And then, of course, it didn't make it home. Didn't have a fork either, but it was good.
Mm,
anyway,
nice.
So...
there's a visual.
Yeah, well, it's a lifelong visual. No to overeating, but I like this thing. Dance like a nut.
Mm-hmm.
And so exercise or just don't have the
inhibitions
to, you know, I don't want to go out there because I can't do hip hop or I can't do electric slide. Well, I'm really dating myself, but
yeah.
I can jitterbug. And you know, I saw these, we went to a bat mitzvah a few weeks ago and these kids were doing the jitterbug.
Right.
And like, how do you do this? And I go, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, and that provides you the ability to exercise as well as to enjoy yourself, be out on the dance floor with the other people, and,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Let me take you back a minute, okay?
okay.
He knew I was going to do that, but let me take you back a minute to when you said establish some guidelines. What I mean by that is what I tell people, and this is really true if you can grasp this. You're really in a little bit of a battle, okay? And your battle's hunger versus appetite. So I was at a party the other night too, and they had all these stations with some cheese and bread and crackers. And then they had another station with vegetables and a whole array of vegetables, you know, and a dip. So if you can make it to that station first, and these days, I'm really impressed because a lot of people are making an effort to do that, to include those kinds of choices. So if you can make it there first, what happens is you get to a point where I like to call it your level of fullness, okay? So if your level of fullness is based on a scale of 1 to 10, you get to 7 a lot quicker if you do vegetables. You can literally take 25 pieces of bread and not be full. Think about it this way. Tell people, sit down with a 16-ounce bag of broccoli and tell me and eat it, okay? Sit down with a sleeve of Oreos, okay? What is easier to eat and what do you have more room after the sleeve of Oreos? Because a lot of people do.
No, you're passed out.
You know, I teach for another time, but I teach body type. So, because I'm going to go back to something, okay? The wellness journey is affected by three things: environment, behavior, and genetics. And the investment from genetics, some people say it's 30%, some people say it's 50%, it's 70%. Okay? And so I'm sitting here with a man who has been blessed with a great body type, for which he should kiss his parents, okay? And I tell people that, all right? Because it is very true. And that affects eating behavior. It affects the exercise process. It affects all of it. Now, does that mean that you're doomed for failure? No. It just means that you, me, okay, you know, I been working out since Moby Dick was a minnow. And, you know, I still have trouble with definition because of my body type. So, you know, so what I tell people is it doesn't mean you're doomed. It just means that you have to think about sensible things. It has, you know, before you go to a party, a lot of people do this. They'll eat very little for breakfast, very little for lunch, and then they'll try to save calories. They'll try to save calories. Okay? So that is the kiss of death. That's something that is definitely should not be done. You eat regularly scheduled meals before you go to a party. And that's just the way it is. And when you're there, look for, like, when this was a buffet that I went to, and I will tell you, I sat around my table and I looked at everybody else's plate, and I thought, they must think I'm a glutton. But I had green beans and broccoli and salad and no bread. And that doesn't mean that bread is not okay. Okay. All foods are lawful. Not all foods edify. From the broccoli to the brownie, all foods are lawful. You start saying, you know, oh, I can't eat this. And even if you never wanted it for your entire life, you're going to want it. So I say, you know, I'm going to tell you, I know you all know this, but diets don't work. They just simply don't work. It's a change in behavior. And changing behavior is challenging, but it's doable. So I tell people little tiny changes that eventually take the scale on a downward trend, you know? And as far as holiday goes, let me tell you, people think that we used to think that you gain 5 to 10 pounds over the holiday season. We're finding that research is showing that's not true. 1 to 2 pounds. Problem is getting that 1 to 2 pounds off, okay, becomes challenging. And I tell people that's because fat begets fat. And, you know, again, a topic for another time, but there's a reason for that. So what I tell people to do is, you know, when you go to the parties, make sure you have water available. Okay. Drink water before you go. Have a full glass of water in between a drink. You know, you're going to have, I mean, I'm a first generation Italian. I grew up on red wine. My kids still make red wine. I love it. It's like, you know, sacrilegious not to have red wine. So, but I make sure I'm hydrated in between. Okay. So I have water, you know, at the table, and I'll make sure that I drink that water and then enjoy my wine, sip my wine. So those are the kinds of things that I talk about. Desserts. They had like a Viennese table, you know, and a lot of places do. And all these fabulous desserts, a lot of which I'm making for the holidays, by the way. So they have all these fabulous desserts. And I see people taking a full plate of these fabulous desserts instead of, why don't you just make up your mind how big of a piece you want. Now have that piece made up from all of the things that are there. So take a piece of this, piece of that, piece of this, piece of this, and you're going to feel more sated. You're going to feel like, oh, wow, you know, that really satisfied me. I tasted everything. Some things are worth the calories, some are not. And so that's how I tell you to approach the holiday. You know, get up, move around at a party. Go talk to people. Initiate the conversation. I'm really good at that.
It's just standing up as opposed to sitting down, not necessarily moving, but standing up. Does that burn calories?
Absolutely.
I thought I'd heard that.
Absolutely.
That's one of the benefits of doing a day-long seminar is you're standing up.
Absolutely.
And, of course, you miss exercising if you're doing a seminar, but I thank you for confirming that. Of course, it is tough on your feet, but other than that, it's better than sitting.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you don't even realize, like when I do a seminar, the couple weeks ago, somebody said to me, did you ever put a pedometer on when you're teaching? She goes, because you must have just walked 5,000 steps. And that's the other thing. You know, you want to create awareness. Whatever you're doing, you want to create awareness because most people are not aware. So I tell people all the time, hey, put a pedometer on, hide it somewhere. If you want to go to a party and just kind of make a game of it, if you want to do that, that's not necessary. But that's one of the reasons why dancing, you know, the funny thing about this party that we went to, they had a great band. The guy was great. He was jolly, sang lots of tunes, and the dance floor was empty. So, you know, I looked at my husband and I said, well, and he goes, come on, let's be the trend center. And setter. And so, you know, we danced, and then people follow. Somebody's got to get up there, and then other people follow. And people think that, you know, everybody's looking at me. No, they really don't care. All right. They're too involved in what they're doing. And who cares? People that move the most dancing, even if they don't know what they're doing, they make other people smile. And that's the best energy deposit you can make.
Years ago, I used to be not a DJ. I just played records. I knew records. But if I went to a party and they wouldn't dance, I had a tape. I just put the tape in and I'd go to the lady and I'd say, okay, we got 15 seconds. And here's the deal. You have to go get a guy. I'll go get him. And I could get him up and I could keep him up. But then I had to put slow songs on every now and then because guys don't want to, you know, quote fast dance. Really dating myself with that comment.
It's okay. I'm with you.
And then I'd have to get them back up. But you're right. Once you get them up there, there maybe were a couple good people, but most people aren't that good on their feet.
Yeah.
And they came up at this thing we went to a couple weeks ago. Same thing. Once people got up, it was okay. But, you know, before, I don't want to be the only one up there.
Yep. Somebody always has to break the ice, okay? So once you get up there and you start to dance and you just find yourself, you lose your inhibition after a while. I mean,
you have a better time.
Much better time. Much better time. Yep.
So no sense sitting at the table sulking and seeing how much you can eat. Get up there and rock and roll.
You were talking about weed, John, before?
Yes.
Yeah. And see, that's all that is, okay?
Yeah.
It's something... I don't know if anyone's seen that commercial on TV where the mother and father are in dated leotards and they're dancing to a thing on TV that is very similar to Wii. And, you know, and the two kids are standing there like, and
embarrassed.
So embarrassed. And the mother's going, come on, kids, we're going to get down. We're getting down with exercise. And I'm like, I died laughing. I thought that was the funniest thing. And let me just say this. That's the way that you get out of negative thinking, okay? First of all, when, like I said to you before also, or in my notes, that the holidays aren't always merry for everybody. And you really don't know, you know, why they feel blue. It could be Christmas past. It could be Christmases when they were children and they didn't receive presents like other children did. It could be that their family of origin, it wasn't a comfortable time for them during the holidays. You know, there's so many reasons that people feel blue during the holidays. And what I say to people is seasonal affective disorder. That's another reason. Military families, husbands being deployed, someone who lost somebody at the holiday season, all of those different things. So what I say to people is do the best you can do. And I'm talking about with your thinking, okay? Do the best you can do. So you're in this thought pattern that, oh, you know, this is what I'm looking for. This is the holidays and I'm not looking forward to this and this happened and that happened. But if you can take yourself out of that thought pattern, it's challenging to stay there. Okay. Out of the thought patterns.
Perfect example of that is, there's a famous, baseball broadcaster, Harry Carey, and he grew up very poor in St. Louis. And in his autobiography, and he was a happy guy, loved doing what he did, even outside of the broadcast booth. He was Mr. Party and just always lived to have a good time. The one exception, Christmas Day with his family, he would go in another room. He said, kids, wife, have a Merry Christmas. He just had to be by himself because of this childhood memory of impoverishment and unhappy Christmases. So I've always remembered, I read the book years and years ago, but that's always stuck with me. Yeah, childhood trauma. I just heard somebody say the other day, and I think it's true, it makes you a different person, depending on the trauma.
It does, but if I can turn that around a little bit. What, and I'm familiar with Harry Caray, too, and so what happens is that memory is embedded. And what we do with the reason childhood trauma can be so devastating, we tend to recreate what's familiar. And that's why I have this thing with keeping an aware mind and trying to get people to identify with that. Like you've all heard the phrase, oh, she married her father, or oh, he married his mother. Well, that's all well and good, depending on that perspective. Okay, was what was the mother and father like? You know, I tell parents all the time, you're creating your children's future memories right now. Right now, okay? And so, unfortunately for Harry Caray, we're just coming into, I'm going to call it a new season, okay, of thinking. And we're just coming into that. And it comes from a healing perspective, okay? So when I say get out of the thought, I think about my sister, okay? She loves the song Dominic the Donkey. Okay, so when Dominic the Donkey's on at the holiday time, she can't dance. All right, she doesn't have one drop of rhythm in her entire body. But when Dominic the Donkey's on, she gets up and she does the most ridiculous dance, and it makes me laugh. Okay,
you know she's listening to the show.
I know she is, and so it gets me out of it. Okay, it gets me out of a thought, or I'll think about one of my sons is very good with that when. There was chaos, and it was at the holiday time in our family. We had a blended family. Sometimes that makes for uncomfortable circumstances. And so it was chaos at the holiday time. And all of a sudden, he was about 16, and he said, let's sing a little song about liking things, liking bologna sandwiches. And it was like so ridiculous that it made you laugh. Okay. So that's what I tell people to do. Get, and it's a challenge to stay there. In fact, you know, it's a real challenge. So I say, okay, get in, get out, get in, get out, get in, get out. All right. And he did actually what you're describing, John, with Harry Caray. He did the best thing he could do. And he also did the best thing for the others there. All right, the other people there.
He didn't ruin their Christmas.
He did not. He kept that to himself. But as I said, we're coming up on a different mindset, and it's exciting. It's very exciting. It's exciting with regard to any behavior, because what I tell people is there is nothing more important than being joyful. Nothing. And I'm not talking about hyena joy that, you know, oh boy, I lost my job, or oh boy, I don't have money for presents. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a type of joy that says, this is not fun right now, but this too shall pass. And I don't know how it's going to turn out, but it's going to turn out okay. And you said you wouldn't have to talk, Bob.
I was right. Somehow I knew.
You did know that.
But I could throw a couple. Let me ask you a question, two questions.
Sure.
How do you slow the workaholic down to enjoy Christmas? And how do you stop the compulsive from trying to control the entire, I shouldn't say Christmas, the holidays? And how do you coach the compulsive from not trying to take everything over during the holidays?
Well, what I say about that is you have to be willing to be displeasing to self. So it will create controversy, the compulsive. We're talking about the compulsive, okay? And I'm going to say this, all right? I ask people in seminars all the time, how many people here are controlling? Okay? And two or three, maybe five brave people raise their hands, and I say to them, you five tell the truth, and the rest of you are big fat liars, because we're all controlling, okay? It's just different degrees, all right? So if you can feel, and this is why I say pay attention to your feelings. I call that your emotional guidance system, and it's your link to the unconscious self. It's your link to your intuitive voice. If you can watch a reaction, like if it's your significant other that's compulsive, you can say, let's talk about this. Okay, let's talk about this. And you sit down and you'll say, all right, this is what I'm comfortable doing. So you make up your mind ahead of time. Like, I'm comfortable putting up the Christmas tree. I'm comfortable buying the tree and putting up the tree. I'm not comfortable being dragged from store to store to store. I'd rather watch paint dry. So somewhere there's a compromise, okay? And you have to make that compromise. And let's talk about that with regard to transition, all right? If you don't, if you're not vigilant about making those kinds of compromises, it's tweaking the relationship. When you are both retired, okay, I tell people all the time, you're going to be sitting across from somebody thinking, what possessed me? And, you know, that doesn't make for a good retirement. So for the compulsive person, and also a lot of people that are, you know, type A, I'm a type A personality.
Really?
Gee, there's a big surprise. But, you know, so I want to get a lot of stuff done. But fortunately, and I tell people I credit my mother, you know, my mom is still alive. She's been in a wheelchair for 40 years, which is absolutely amazing. And she could win a race with that chair. And what she got done in a day was two other people exhausting. And she gave my sisters and I that energy. It was a gift. And so I get a lot done during the day. And I do say, and my husband is also one of those people who has a little problem with seasons and also with the holiday. And I'll say to him, tell me what you're comfortable with. You know, let's find a compromise. So now what was the first one? Workaholic. Mm. Finding time. What you have to do, again, back to the visual. What do you want your holiday to look like? All right. What do you want it to look like? Delegate. All right. If you have grown children can pick up gifts. All right. Even younger children, teenagers can pick up gifts. You can, and lots of times they're happy to do it. So delegate, give responsibilities to other people. You know, what are you doing in your lunch hour? How's your lunch hour look? All right. Zip it and go do something. Accomplish three things during your lunch hour. And that's, you know, simple time management. But the big thing is give up, like, for instance, holiday tradition. Give up holiday traditions. Create your own, okay? My family, you know, I don't know if you know or if you know any Italians, but fish. We had fish every Christmas Eve. Bacalà. Cod, I hate it. So I kept that tradition for years and years and years. And then I just decided one day, that's going to be a holiday memory. And I'm going to tell stories about that, about my grandmother and grandfather, to my kids. But that's a holiday tradition that I'm going to put to rest. All right. So all the stuff, all the demands that we place on ourselves, I don't like the should word. I say crucify the should word and change it to could. Because could empowers you, okay? And it gives you choice. And that's where you have to be. And with anything where you have this sense of dread, okay, you have to find, what are my choices? And you know, I tell people sometimes the choice is like with a difficult relative at Christmas time. You just got to accept what is and find some behaviors that work so that relative isn't sucking the energy out of your body, you know, and you can do it. You can. So those are the things that I would say. The workaholic, sometimes just that word that you're telling me, it conjures up a picture for me. And what I see is somebody who's taking on a lot, maybe some things that aren't necessary. So I would try to get them to take a look at behavior and what they are taking on. And again, with the compulsive person who I prefer to say has a ton of wonderful, exciting energy, okay, it's a communication thing. So those are my answers. Long-winded, great. Aren't I?
No, very explorative and explanatory. But of course. All righty, holiday dinners, cooking, who does what, who cleans up.
You got to delegate. You got to have, when my boys, I did a lot of Sunday dinners because that's a traditional thing and I like to cook. So I did a lot of Sunday dinners and I noticed that my kitchen was set up so that it was attached to the great room. It was all open at a house that I lived in New York. And dinner would end, and my boys would go in the other room. And at one point, they actually turned around and said to me, "Ma, you think you could stop clanging those pots?" I took one look at them. I said, "Okay, change your rules. We're going to have rules that are going to change now, you know, and everybody's going to have a job. After meals, everybody's going to have a job. And don't be afraid to change the rules. You know, the person that comes with a bag of magazines is going to sit in front of the TV while you do all the cooking. Guess what? If you eat, you clean up. Okay? Other people bringing something to the table. You know, bring, what's your favorite dish? What do you like to cook? What's your holiday tradition? You know, bring it to the table. Let's have that holiday tradition from you, you know? So those are the kinds of things that help with the meal. And you know what? If you hate to cook, Wegmans has got some really good choices.
And you'll have a lot of leftovers.
And yeah, and here's the thing. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Free yourself from that kind of, you put the sentence on yourself, I should be cooking. I should make cookies. Go buy them. Who cares? You know? And that's what happens. My son I was telling you, Bob, he just passed the New York State bar, thank God. So he doesn't have a lot of money. He's got a lot of student loans. And he said to me, "Mom, I don't know what to do." I said, "Well, I can tell you what you can do for me. The same thing you did when you were in college. And that is, first of all, the gift of time for me is the greatest gift." And that particular son gives me the gift of time. He spends lots and lots of time with me. The second thing I said to him was, what I would like is, I want you to write something for me. Write something for me. And because all those other presents that you buy me, they're all wonderful. But when you wrote what you wrote from your heart, Christmas that you were in a senior in college, and beginning your first year of law school, when you wrote what you wrote, I had that framed, and it's in the spare bedroom. And I can't tell you how many guests of mine said to me, "Oh, Patty, what your son wrote." You know, it was just, I didn't even know he could write like that. I mean, he's an athlete, you know, he's a quarterback all through high school and college. I didn't even know he could tap into that feminine side of his brain, you know, and it was absolutely beautiful.
Tell you what, these are really good points, and we haven't given out the phone number, so anybody out there, it's 10:45, it's December, what is today, December
19th?
Yeah, okay, December 19th, 10:45 a.m., we're going to be on the air for about another 13 minutes, and you really should call. We're at 202-465-3080, 202-465-3080. Don't call after 10:58 because we won't be here, but you'll be able to email us and we'll do the email.
Yeah, and we don't know what's on next either, so it's not our show.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
But they should listen to whoever follows us. Anyway, let's get back to creating the most happiness that we can in the holidays, even if we either don't want to be happy or we're just convinced we're not going to be happy. You've really given some great pointers to how to turn some of these folks around. And now, after the holidays, you know, gee, I had a great time, but I got to go to work, and I'm not going to be able to do this anymore. Now I have to exercise because I gained what I thought was 10 pounds, but it was only 2, but still it's a notch too, larger than my belt or slacks or whatever you want to call it. How do we work on these people?
Well, first of all, after the holidays, you have to rely on what you know to be true, okay? When you go on vacation, all right, how long does it take you to get back into work? Like 3 days and you get back into the routine? It's a routine, okay? And it's a routine you're familiar with. You're going to get back to it and cut yourself some slack. I mean, if it takes you a little bit of time, good. The biggest thing I would say about that is a lot of people don't get enough sleep. And that's a problem forever in every way, okay? So again, you have to program that in. 7 hours. And, you know, I know, and I teach people that you need at least 20 minutes of downtime every day just to eliminate stressors. Okay. So a place where you can just be and do what brings energy to your body. So what I say to people all the time is, okay, you're going to get back into this. And if you start, if you're New Year's resolution is to begin an exercise program, choose one thing, commit to one thing, commit to one rule for fitness.
Fitness.
Okay, commit to one rule for fitness. For instance, okay, instead of saying, and typically, sorry, but it's gender-based, men have a tendency to go full guns. Women allow themselves a little bit more time. But for anyone out there, what I say is, all right, commit to an awareness exercise. All right, buy a pedometer, ask for it, ask for that gift, buy it, strap it on, okay? And then do nothing, change absolutely nothing. Just note, how many steps do I walk in a week? How many steps do I walk during the week? How many on the weekends, okay? And then make it your job to change that. Create steps. No formal exercise. Just create steps, okay? After 7 p.m., there's some research that women have difficulty, and I say women because typically women are the most concerned with weight, but they have difficulty with metabolization because of estrogen levels after 7 p.m. Now, research does not show that we gain all our weight because of that. More what it's showing is that the amount of calories that we eat for the entire day. But that's a good change. I'm going to eat all my calories before 7, if that's possible, okay? Or 8, if that's possible. So there, what I say is little changes. For me, like one of the changes I made along the way was I took the starch out of a meal. So I took the starch out of lunch. And that made me focus on produce and protein. It made me aware of how much starch I do have, okay? So those kinds of things, it's a game with self, and it needs to be playful, because the I should, feel what that feels like on your body. I should exercise. Ugh. I shouldn't eat less. Ugh. I should lose 5 pounds. Ugh. That's all heavy. That's all an energy withdrawal, okay? It's all an energy withdrawal. An energy deposit feels very different. An energy deposit is exciting. Like for me, you know, big surprise, talking is an energy deposit.
I would have never guessed that.
I knew you wouldn't have guessed that, Bob. Poor John, he's sitting here saying, is she going to shut up for a minute now?
No, please don't.
But
it makes my job easy.
But that's exactly what I'm talking about, okay? Stuff that brings energy to you. And by the way, these guys are laughing, so that makes me happy because that's energy for their bodies, all right?
No, I'm not laughing at him. Laughing, it was just a great comment.
Yeah. So, holiday dinners and cooking, we talked about. One thing that I do want to say about the gift giving. Does anybody remember Christmas clubs? Talking about dating yourself. Do you know they still exist? I know.
Really?
Yes.
Upstate New York.
Yes.
Maybe.
You'd open a savings account just for
just
Christmas
for Christmas.
Gifts.
But yeah. You can do that on your own. You can structure it on your own so that that money stuff doesn't have to be so stressful for the holiday season, especially for people who are on limited income, fixed income budgets. Just then, you know, you're in a position where, wow, you know, this feels better. It's anticipating stress.
So you're a financial planner too, huh?
Yeah, well, as best as I can be. But, you know, with regard to one thing, I want to tell a little story. Surprise, surprise. I have a cousin. My dad was the youngest of six. His oldest sister had a son older than him. So, and he was a first generation. He was born in Italy. So you can imagine, any of you out there who are my paisans, you know, with the males in the Italian family, how they're revered, especially my father's age. So I have a cousin who's a lot older than me. I saw her at a wedding. And I said to her, Elaine, how you doing? You know, how are things? And, you know, what's up? And I said, and how's your marriage going? And you know, I was like 16, 17. And she said, you know, Patty, she had five kids. She said, you know, Patty, it's great. She goes, my husband and I, we really love each other. And a lot of people in who has been married as long as we have, they lose it. And she goes, but, you know, I'm really happy. 2 weeks later, my Aunt Molly, who's kind of a matriarch, told me that her husband came home and told her that he was in love with another teacher and he was leaving her. And so my cousin has been a stay-at-home mom. She got married at 19. Her perception is that she has no skills, okay? So she goes to school, and my matriarch aunt helped with childcare. And so she got a degree in psych, and she met this individual that her brother introduced to her. And this individual came to her house for dinner, and she fixed him a meal. And he stayed for a week. He was a guest, and she cooked the entire time. And he said to her, these sauces are fabulous. Have you ever thought about bottling them? And she said, no, I really didn't. He goes, you could do that. Okay. Now that had to be believable for her. Okay. So something hit her. I always say to people, pay attention to everything that animates you. Pay attention to something that causes a visceral reaction on your body. Okay. So she started bottling her sauces, my recipes, I might add, and brought them to different boutiques in Connecticut and Vermont and all of that. And I connected with her again, and it was maybe 7 years after the fact. And she said to me, Patty, I'm actually quite famous. I said, what? She goes, you know, my sauces, I now sell to Harry and David. Wow. Under their label. She's a multi-millionaire. She employs all five of her children, two of whom are attorneys.
Wow.
So see, that's what I mean about not knowing the end of the story. And that's what I mean about, so if you look at those things, okay, what she did that was maybe different, she had the courage to think outside the box. And she had the courage to grab on to that feeling. Grab on to that feeling. And that's what I would like to say. And I know we're getting toward the end, but what I would like to say to all of you is you want to reach for the highest feeling. And if you can think about something that made you feel good, hang on to that feeling. Hang on to the highest feeling you can get at this time, during this season. And that's gonna help you. That's gonna help you more than the thoughts, and I'll leave you with this if you want me to.
Don't leave.
The thoughts that you put in your mind have a much greater impact on your body and your health than the food that you put in your body, in your mouth. So the thoughts that you put in your mind have a much greater impact on the total wellness, the total health of your body than the food that you put in your mouth. And that's fact. That's fact. I only left you a very short time to dispute it.
I don't dispute anything. I agree with all the guests.
Oh, yay.
That's my job. What do we got? Two more minutes, Andrew? Okay. So two more minutes. Bring it down to a slow landing.
Okay. So, I hope that some of these suggestions that I've given you will help you. What you want to realize now is that on Sunday, December 25th, you're going to be creating your own memories. And I'll tell you something my Aunt Molly, the matriarch, told me. She was Rosie during the World War II. She died a couple years ago at age 100. And she said to me, Pat, nobody wants to hear that you walk 3 miles to school every day. They don't care. But everybody wants to hear where you were when Kennedy was shot, or where you were when Martin Luther King died, or what was the energy like during the Vietnam War. Those are stories. People want stories. During your holiday season, get the conversation back to stories. Tell stories. What did your family do? Tell stories. And most importantly, create your own. Create your own traditions. Realize that what you're creating next Sunday, December 25th, is part of your future, because it's part of your memories for the future. Make it a good one.
And this would be true for what starts tomorrow, Hanukkah?
Absolutely. And thank you, because we didn't touch on that.
Different religions. Okay, we got about 10 seconds. John, final comments?
Oh, just happy holidays and listen to Patty. Listen to what she has to say. I think it'll help you a lot.
That's right. Pass this show along to your friends. If they're down, they listen to this, they'll be up.
Shows are archived. That's
right.
Yeah, encourage them to listen
at NITPInc.com. Anyway, we're going to get kicked off the air. So thanks, Patty. Thanks, John. Thanks, Nancy. And we'll be back probably with a canned show next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.